Let's read together Esther chapter 9. In this chapter, the Jews successfully defend themselves against their enemies and then celebrate their victory with a holiday called the Feast of Purim, which is still celebrated today. Let's begin by reading verses 1 through 19. Now, in the 12th month, that is the month of Adar, on the 13th day, the time came for the king's command and his decree to be executed. On the day that the enemies of the Jews had hoped to overpower them, the opposite occurred, in that the Jews themselves overpowered those who hated them. The Jews gathered together in their cities throughout all the provinces of King Ahasuerus to lay hands on those who sought their harm, and no one could withstand them, because fear of them fell upon all people. And all the officials of the provinces, the satraps, the governors, and all those doing the king's work helped the Jews because the fear of Mordecai fell upon them. For Mordecai was great in the king's palace, and his fame spread throughout all the provinces. For this man Mordecai became increasingly prominent. Thus the Jews defeated all their enemies with the stroke of the sword, with slaughter and destruction, and did what they pleased with those who hated them. And in Susa the capital, the Jews killed and destroyed 500 men, including the 10 sons of Haman that are listed by name here in verses 7 through 9. Verse 10, the 10 sons of Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the enemy of the Jews, they killed. But they did not lay a hand on the plunder. On that day, the number of those who were killed in Susa the capital was brought to the king. And the king said to Queen Esther, "The Jews have killed and destroyed 500 men in Susa the capital and the 10 sons of Haman. What have they done in the rest of the king's provinces? Now what is your petition? It shall be granted to you. Or what is your further request? It shall be done." Then Esther said, "If it pleases the king, let it be granted to the Jews who are in Susa to do again tomorrow according to today's decree, and let Haman's 10 sons be hanged on the gallows." So the king commanded this to be done. The decree was issued in Susa, and they hanged Haman's 10 sons. And the Jews who were in Susa gathered together again on the 14th day of the month of Adar and killed 300 men at Susa, but they did not lay a hand on the plunder. The remainder of the Jews in the king's provinces gathered together and protected their lives, had rest from their enemies, and killed 75,000 of their enemies, but they did not lay a hand on the plunder. This was on the 13th day of the month of Adar, and on the 14th of the month they rested and made it a day of feasting and gladness. But the Jews who were at Susa assembled together on the 13th day, as well as on the 14th day, and on the 15th of the month they rested, and made it a day of feasting and gladness. Therefore the Jews of the villages who dwelt in the unwalled town celebrated the 14th day of the month of Adar with gladness and feasting as a holiday and for sending presents to one another. Let's begin our study of this chapter, Esther chapter 9, with some background notes. In Esther chapter 8, we saw that King Xerxes I of Persia had allowed Queen Esther and Mordecai to write a decree to counter the edict that Haman had sponsored to annihilate the Jews. And so the edict sponsored by Esther and Mordecai allowed the Jews to defend themselves on the day that had been determined by Haman to destroy the Jews. Here in chapter 9, that dreaded day, the 13th day of the 12th month, had arrived. The anti-Semites throughout the empire hoped to do away with the Jews, but God overruled. And as we read in verse 1, on the day that the enemies of the Jews had hoped to overpower them, the opposite occurred, in that the Jews themselves overpowered those who hated them. God let the fear of the Jews fall on their enemies so that no one could stand against God's people. Furthermore, God had the fear of Mordecai, who was now second only to the king in authority in the empire. God let his fear fall on all those of lesser rank, so that all the officials of the empire assisted the Jews in their defense against the anti-Semitism of that day, as we see in verse 3. Well, so much for background. Let's move now to our doctrine or teaching points for Esther chapter 9. Doctrine or teaching point number 1. There is a time to kill. There is a time to kill. Now, wait a minute. I thought the Bible said, "Thou shalt not kill." Isn't that one of the Ten Commandments? How can we have such a doctrinal point? There is a time to kill. answer, because the Bible says that there is a time to kill. I'm reading a well-known passage from the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal. Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 3. Now, is this a contradiction to the sixth commandment, thou shalt not kill? No. The commandment is not thou shalt not kill, but rather thou shalt not murder. Murder is the wrongful taking of life. But there is a time when it is right to take life. God has given mankind the right and responsibility to carry out capital punishment in the case of murder. The biblical basis for capital punishment is found in Genesis chapter 9 and verse 6. This is part of the Noahic covenant, which was given to mankind after the flood in order for man to govern himself. I'm reading Genesis chapter 9, verse 6. Whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed, for in the image of God he made man. Capital punishment does not take a low view of life, but rather a high view of life. How dare someone take another person's life and murder? They do so at the cost of their own life. The Noahic covenant was not just given to Israel, but to all mankind, and it has never been lifted or terminated. In fact, Romans chapter 13 backs up the Noahic covenant and capital punishment when it says that the governing powers are established by God and they have the right to bear the sword. Now, a logical extension of Romans chapter 13 is the right of self-defense when someone is trying to kill you. Kill you as an individual, or as a people, or as a nation. That's what's going on here in Esther chapter 9. The Jewish people are on the verge of being exterminated by an evil edict. An evil edict allowing anti-Semitism to have its way and annihilate the Jews. So the Jewish people are rightly defending themselves here against their would-be killers. There is a time to kill. You know, this same principle would apply today in reference to known terrorists that are intent on killing innocent people. To get them in preemptive strikes before they get you does have a biblical basis. There is a time to kill. Doctrinal point number two. There is a time to celebrate. There is a time to celebrate. Verses 20 through 32. Esther chapter 9, beginning now at verse 20. And Mordecai wrote these things and sent letters to all the Jews near and far who were in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus to establish among them that they should celebrate yearly the 14th and 15th days of the month of Adar, as the days on which the Jews had rest from their enemies, as the month which was turned from sorrow to joy for them, and from mourning to a holiday, that they should make them days of feasting and joy, of sending presents to one another and gifts to the poor. So the Jews accepted the custom which they had begun as Mordecai had written to them, because Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, the enemy of all the Jews, had plotted against the Jews to annihilate them, and had cast Pur, that is the lot, to consume them and destroy them. But when Esther came before the king, he commanded by letter that this wicked plot which Haman had devised against the Jews should return on his own head, and that he and his sons should be hanged on the gallows. So they called these days Purim, after the name Pur. Therefore, because of all the words of this letter, what they had seen concerning this matter, and what had happened to them, the Jews established and imposed it upon themselves and their descendants and all who would join them, that without fail they should celebrate these 2 days every year, according to the written instructions and according to the prescribed time, that these days should be remembered and kept throughout every generation, every family, every province, and every city, that these days of Purim should not fail to be observed among the Jews, and that the memory of them should not perish among their descendants. Then Queen Esther, the daughter of Abihail, with Mordecai the Jew, wrote with full authority to confirm this second letter about Purim. And Mordecai sent letters to all the Jews, to the 127 provinces of the kingdom of Ahasuerus with words of peace and truth, to confirm these days of Purim at their appointed time, as Mordecai the Jew and Queen Esther had prescribed for them, and as they had decreed for themselves and their descendants concerning matters of their fasting and lamenting. So the decree of Esther confirmed these matters of Purim, and it was written in the book. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 4 says, "There is a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance." Ecclesiastes 3, 4. Here in Esther chapter 9, after the Jews successfully defended themselves and God gave them the victory, it was a time for celebration. Notice in verses 20 through 23 that Mordecai said that they were obliged to celebrate this event. It was not an option. There is a time to celebrate. The annual celebration of the memory of this great event became an official feast day in the religious calendar of the Jewish people. It is still celebrated today. It is known as the Feast of Purim, after the word pur, meaning lot in reference to the lot that was cast by Haman. Remember, the lot fell on the 12th month, which gave the Jewish people time to prepare for their defense. The 12th month in the Hebrew religious calendar comes in February or March of our civil calendars. Based on Mordecai's declaration in verse 21, the Feast of Purim was to be celebrated for 2 days, one for victory in Susa, the capital, and one day for victory in the provinces. The Feast of Purim is a 2-day feast even to this day. The celebration of Purim consists of feasting and joy, the exchange of presents, and sending gifts to the poor. There is a time to celebrate. Romans chapter 12 and verse 15 says, "Rejoice with those who rejoice." Romans 12, 15. So there is a time to celebrate. When the Lord blesses us with answered prayer, as to meeting financial needs, or healing from sickness, or deliverance from some problem, or opening some door, we should rejoice together. There is a time to celebrate. What about practical application from Esther chapter 9? Watch out for a looting mentality. Watch out for a looting mentality. Notice how Israel restrained themselves when they defended themselves. The end of verse 15, "But they did not lay a hand on the plunder." And the end of verse 16, "But they did not lay a hand on the plunder." Even though the edict gave them the right to the spoils, the Jewish people rightly kept their fleshly desires under control. Do we? You know, one of the big problems in our society today is looting. When people have to leave their homes because of a national disaster, such as a flood or hurricane or an earthquake, they also have to worry about looters. This never used to be. We as Christians say that we would never become looters, right? But we need to also watch out for a looting mentality. That is taking things by force because we have the advantage. Whether it be in doing business, or handling finances, or dividing up the family's inheritance, watch out for a looting mentality.